Welcome to the Global PSC Podcast, brought to you by the Global Product Stewardship Council and our members. Our members are based in 10 countries and operate globally. They include producers, product recovery organizations, reprocessors, NGOs, and governments at federal, state, or provincial and local levels. The Global PSC helps facilitate the development of effective product stewardship and extended producer responsibility, or EPR, schemes globally. Details are available at globalpsc.net. Today we're discussing waste electrical and electronic equipment, known by the unfortunate acronym of WE, with Pascal Lawa, Secretary General of the WE Forum.
Pascal, tell us about yourself and the WE Forum.
As you said, Russ, I'm the Secretary General of the WE Forum, and the WE Forum is a global competence center on e-waste matters. Our membership includes organizations that take back and collect electronic waste from households and businesses. And their key responsibility is to make sure that the electronic waste that is collected is properly treated and properly recycled and also reported to the authorities. The WE Forum has 36 member organizations, and 34 of them are based in Europe. Two of them are outside Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. And we are currently expanding also with South Africa and Colombia.
What is WE? How is it defined and what kinds of items are included?
So WE, as you said earlier, waste, electrical and electronic equipment, that's the European term for e-waste, let's say, electronic waste, covers everything with a plug or a battery. That's what is commonly understood by WE. And many countries have their own definition, but that's basically what they understood by e-waste.
What major drivers were there initially for addressing the environmental impacts of WE?
Well, the problem is that many electronic waste items contain hazardous substances. For example, a refrigerator contains CFCs, which damage the ozone layer, and they contribute to global warming. And therefore, when you recycle refrigerators, you have to make sure that you properly extract the CFCs from the circuits of the refrigerator. Another example is flat screens. Flat screens contain mercury in backlights, or for example, mercury in energy-saving lamps. So if you don't treat these energy-saving lamps, these flat screens and these refrigerators properly, the hazardous substances enter the environment, damaging not only the environment, but also the health, the public health, and also the health of the workers.
How did the European Commission's WE directive address these impacts? What impact did that have overall?
So in the 1990s, there were a couple of member states in the European Union that were developing their own e-waste legislation. I'm talking of Sweden, Netherlands, Belgium, Austria. And at European Union level, they were saying, well, we need to harmonize what's going on across Europe. Otherwise, we will end up with 28 different e-waste legislative frameworks. And therefore, they started thinking about one single European directive laying down the basic principles of e-waste legislation. And as I said, the principal objective was to make sure that you harmonize the framework and you harmonize the basic principles of the legislation.
What are some of the major issues to be addressed for WE, either now or for the foreseeable future?
The access to critical raw materials is a key priority for the European Union. The possibility to continue to tap into critical raw materials for the production of photovoltaics and windmills and other green tech products is absolutely key for the survival and the sustainability of our economy. So we would lose our competitive edge in these products if we no longer have access to these critical materials, either because we can't mine them or because we can't import the materials from outside of the European Union. So I think that's issue number one.
What are some of the other issues that you see as key and need to be addressed for the foreseeable future?
I think the whole circular economy issue is absolutely very relevant because you were talking about making sure that the materials or that the products can be used as long as possible. recycling is not the best option when it comes to dealing with end-of-life products. You first have to ask yourself the question, can I give my product to someone else? Or can I sell it on a platform? Can I repair my product? And so go to repair cafe, for example. We used to think that as soon as a product, we don't use a product any longer, we send it to recycling. But that's not the most optimal approach. So in my opinion, circular economy is one of these terms that is overhyped, let's say, because I see many posts on social media from groups that say that they are implementing the circular economy principles. But basically what they do, they just recycle products. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, circular economy is a lot more than recycling. Actually, it's not even essentially recycling. Circular economy is about making sure that the materials in the products are used as long as possible.
It seems that recycling usually gets more attention because it's an easier concept for people to relate to and understand, whereas broader product stewardship and circular economy principles might be using less toxic materials that are available or addressing broader life cycle perspectives. It's not just recycling, but recycling seems to get a lot of the attention.
I don't know why that is. My father used to tell me that when he was a child, so when he was 10, 15 years old, at his house, they had a couple of buckets of waste a year. So we come from a circular economy situation, and we evolved from a circular economy situation to a linear economy, and now we are going back into a circular economy situation because this is quite puzzling in a way. Why did we become a linear economy where you buy something and then you dispose of it?
Mm-hmm. To what extent does some of that have to do with materials being cheaper or having greater items, greater turnover of consumer goods, for instance, always having to have the latest, greatest phone, smartphone, new features come out, designs of different electronics, TVs get better. Now it seems like everything has a screen, for instance, mm-hmm. whereas it used to be a simpler categorization. There were TVs, there were computer screens. Now everything has a screen, you know, the urinals that I've seen in Taipei with screens on them, you know, at what stage are we ultimately going to need to look at the fact that many products have merged? To what extent are we looking at that now? But we've got a vast range of products that we didn't used to have. And is that a factor in pulling us towards a more linear economy in the past?
I think so. I think it's deplorable evolution that we put screens into everything because, as you all know, screens are composed of scarce materials, mm-hmm. very often even rare earth elements. So they are really rare. Not necessarily rare, but at least they are special. You have to really mine them. Mm-hmm. And this is something that is not commonly understood. And we are running out of materials. Let's say, not necessarily running out of materials, but it becomes more and more expensive to mine the extra materials we need to make the high-tech equipment that we are used to.
And as producers optimize their production, it seems like often the more valuable materials you have smaller and smaller amounts of them in those products. So a computer would have less gold in it now than in the past. Or you, because of the cost of rare earth elements, you try and use them very sparingly. You mentioned a few times the term urban mining. Tell us about urban mining and how the WE Forum has been active on the issue.
So you should see urban mining in contrast with mining. Mining means that you explore and you extract ores to produce certain metals. Urban mining means that you actually explore and extract the same metals, not from a mine, not from the ground, but from equipment sitting in the households. So every laptop, every iPhone, every refrigerator, every washing machine contains metals and materials that you can recover. And so instead of mining these materials, instead of extracting them from the ground, you extract them, you recover them from the end-of-life equipment sitting in households. Mm-hmm. A typical household in Europe has 125 end-of-life products. So we all know what we're talking about. PlayStations and the television sets and the refrigerators and washing machines and tablets, they all contain materials. And if you add up all these items in a household, it's really a mine. Mm-hmm. And so it makes much more sense to make sure that you recover the materials in these products than to go out mine them.
If you're paying to put a system in place, you don't want to be undercut by your competitors not paying into the system. And so there have often been producers calling for those frameworks to be put in place.
Is that something that you see commonly among your members, where there is that producer support for such a framework?
It is, but let's say free riding is an issue of great concern. But free riding is not the reason why they're putting in place e-waste legislation.
Why is that?
At European level, e-waste legislation was put into place in order to make sure that companies in Europe, in the European Union, are facing the same type of legislation across Europe. Mm-hmm. And so also to make sure that the legislation across Europe is harmonized, is comparable or compatible.
So you don't have 28 different schemes that you're having separate compliance programs or reporting programs, for instance, with those?
The reporting may be different, and there may be some differences in terms of reporting and compliance requirements and so on, but the basic principles of legislation have to be the same across the European Union. That's the purpose of European legislation. The point now is that even though you have legislation, you will still have free riders. You don't solve the problem of free riding by putting into place legislation. Free riding arises because some people do not comply with the legislation, and therefore you need proper enforcement. Mm-hmm. You need market surveillance, and you need the authorities to enforce the legislation in order to avoid free riding.
That's wonderful. Pascal, thank you for your time, and we appreciate all that you and the We Forum are doing. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Global PSC Podcast, brought to you by the Global Product Stewardship Council and our members. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Global PSC, or check out globalpsc.net for more information.